It's going to be more teaching than preaching, I think. But I've been studying on this for a good little while. And it's just something I'm just going to start tonight. I'm not going to labor you here for an hour. We're going to get out of here. But because I've spent more time studying about this than I do on most things about that I preach on. Because there's a lot to it. I just didn't realize. I've never really studied the kingdom of heaven before, not just particularly. I just haven't done it. Wish I had of. There's a lot of things about it to understand. There's a lot of things when you understand it will help you greatly in your heart and mind about this whole thing. I found out a lot of things that I never really realized too in studying about it. And so I just want to just kind of hit it a lick tonight here just to kind of introduce the thing. And then there's several things that I want to talk about it. You know, there's entering into the kingdom. There's about being hindered from entering into the kingdom. What are the things that hinder? Jesus talked about it exceeding much. I'm amazed how much it is in the Bible, and how could we overlook something like this? How could we make little of what God makes so much of? And so we need to understand these things. Please listen. And like I said, we'll just get through it here tonight. And if you'll get a hold of these few little things here tonight, well, then it'll help you. I hate for the ones that are not here because they're going to miss the very foundation of it. And I hope you care. Let's read. I want to read Matthew 13. Let's just read verses 51 and 52. And this is what Jesus said after the parables of the kingdom in Matthew 13. There are more later on in Matthew where he talked about it, but he was really instructing them on the kingdom of heaven here in this chapter. Over and over, he said the kingdom of heaven is likened to. It's like when a man does it, like when this happens, like when this. When he got done with all that, Jesus saith unto them, verse 51, have you understood all these things? They say unto him, yea, Lord. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Boy, you know, that's enough right there to think about for a long time. But I can't really preach on that until we preach on the kingdom and explain a lot of other things. But my, God's got a big thing going on. He sure does. Has had ever since he created this world and created man. God's been a-working. He's got a plan for the whole thing. And we're lucky, we're fortunate, we're blessed to be living in the end of it here, toward the end. This is not the end. It's about the end of this age, though. We're approaching the end of the church age real fast. It's upon us. And it's good for us. It's so much easier for us to understand and see these things from where we're at. If we'd lived 100 years ago, it'd been harder for us to understand these things. If we'd lived 50 years ago, it'd been harder for us to understand these things. 25 years ago. But to me, things are sure getting clearer as we get along. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Please bless it now. Please make the understanding to open on this to the hearts of these that listen. Please help me to be able to express it in a way that it would be understood and it would be helpful. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us and do the work in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. What is the kingdom of heaven? Do you know it's not mentioned anywhere except in the book of Matthew? The kingdom of heaven is only mentioned in the book of Matthew. Nowhere else in the Bible is that phrase used. Is it the same thing as the kingdom of God? Well, a lot of people believe that there are two different kingdoms. A lot of people believe that they make a difference here and they make the kingdom of God a different thing than the kingdom of heaven. I believe they're the same thing. Now, if anybody can instruct me, I'm willing to listen. But, you know, you're going to have some pretty strong evidence. Not cloudy, dreamy stuff. Because we got to go by what the Word of God says. Amen? I mean, that's what the authority is. What else do we have? We don't have we have no right to imagine and interject all kinds of things that are not there. I've been studying this. The parable of the kingdom that are the same, parables of the kingdom that are the same in the different gospels. Right in Matthew, the parable of the sower, it's in Matthew 13, it's in Mark chapter 4, and it's in Luke chapter 8, the parable of the sower. Explicitly talking about the kingdom of heaven in Matthew. It's called the kingdom of God in Luke. It's called the kingdom of God in Mark. But it's obviously, clearly, the same parable, the same story, the same thing. And Jesus said kingdom of heaven in Matthew, in Mark and Luke, he said kingdom of God. But the story is the same. The parable of the mustard seed is in Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. It's in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 and 32. It's in Luke chapter 13, verses 18 and 19. Same exact story, but in Matthew it's the kingdom of heaven. In Mark and Luke it's the kingdom of God. Sound to me like they're the same thing. Parable of the leaven in Matthew 13, 33 and in Luke chapter 13, verse 21. It's the kingdom of heaven in Matthew. It's the kingdom of God in Luke. Parable of the man who left his vineyard and went on a long journey. It's in Matthew 21. It's in Mark 13. It's in Luke chapter 20. Same story, but again, kingdom of heaven in Matthew, kingdom of God in Mark and Luke. The parable of the talents. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, and in Luke chapter 19, verses 12 through 27. Again, Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven. Luke calls it the kingdom of God. To me, that's pretty strong evidence that they're the same thing. It's hard for me to make a difference in them when the Bible makes them the same so many times. The book of Matthew just focuses more on the kingdom and gives more description of it than the other gospels. There's a whole lot more said about the kingdom in Matthew than there is in the other gospels. In the parables of the kingdom that are found only in Matthew, here they are. Parable of the tares, chapter 13. Verse 24 through 30. And again, in 37 through 43, he explains what the parable means. The parable of the tares. It's only in Matthew. Can't find it in the other Gospels. Parable of the treasure in the field. It's in Matthew 13, 44. It's not in the other Gospels. Parable of the pearl of great price. It's in Matthew 13, verses 45 through 46. Parable of the net. Again, Matthew 13, 47 through 49. Parable of the man who hired laborers for his vineyard. It's in Matthew 20, 1 through 16. Parable of the king who made a marriage supper for his son. You remember that? He sent them out to invite the guests. They wouldn't come. He sent them out and told them to compel them to come in. Sent them out after the blind and the maimed that the wedding might be full. That's in Matthew. Chapter 22, verses 2 through 14. And then there's the parable of the 10 virgins. These are all parables where Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like unto. These are all illustrations teaching us what the kingdom of heaven is, what he's talking about, how it's going to be, how it's going to work. And when he got done with all this, he said, you understand these things? Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? Do you understand what I'm trying to teach you? Oh, yay, Lord, we do. He said, all right. Every scribe that's instructed in the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasures things new and old. These guys were Jews. They knew the law, the prophets. And Jesus is explaining what's in the future now. From this point on, guys, is what I'm talking about. From here on out, this is what it's going to be like. The work of God on earth. The way this thing's going to go. So you understand. So you write it down. So that the people in the future can understand what's going on. Jesus told us all about it. The kingdom's going to be this, just like we've seen it happen. And just like we're seeing it happen right now in front of us. John the Baptist came preaching the kingdom of God. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Do you see the change of gears? Do you see the marked line where things changed? Where the work of God took a different, on a different view, a different manifestation or whatever. From John, the law and the prophets were unto John the Baptist. And from then on, from then, the kingdom of God is preached. The kingdom of God began with the coming of Jesus. Matthew 4 and 17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It was the beginning of a new dispensation, if you will, a period of time when the revelation of God to man is opened up and made clearer than ever before. When we were in Genesis, we talked about this, and I saw it clearly how from the beginning, God, the revelation of God to man has just grown and blossomed and become more clear as the centuries and the millennia have passed. Every step of the way, things have become clearer and clearer. All from the Garden of Eden through to Noah, then Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the children of Israel in Egypt and then the children of Israel in their land. And then all those hundreds of years until Christ came. And now we're living in the church age. It's the phrase that's been coined to call this what it is. It's the kingdom of heaven. That's what we're living in. Yeah. There's different manifestations of it, and I didn't want to get into that tonight here, but maybe at the end you can see what I'm talking about here. There's a time coming, there's a day coming when it's going to look different than it does now. The kingdom of Jesus' kingdom is not of this world. Let me stick, I'm going to get ahead of myself here. It was the beginning of the preaching of the Savior after he had come and fulfilled all the prophecies concerning him. Now you understand that before Jesus came, they knew he was coming. They were looking for him. The Bible was clear. The Word of God, the prophets, and all of the Old Testament was clear about Jesus coming. But just like it is now when we're at the time of His second coming, and look at all the confusion about what it's going to be like and how He's going to come and when He's going to come and all of this, that's how it was with His first coming. There were very few people who really understood. Simeon was one. Mm-hmm. That old widow in the temple was another one. There was a few people. In all the organized religion, it was a mess. And most of them were as lost as they could be and void of any understanding. They knew the Word of God, but they had no understanding. And that's the way it is right now when He's coming. He's fixing to come. But very few people understand how it's going to be, when it's going to be. He was supposed to come the 23rd, you see. The news media likes mocking about it now because there's this one after another kook that don't understand nothing that sets these dates and makes a fool of themselves. I guess they rake in some money from it, and that's good enough for them. You know, it's worth it to them, I guess, to rake in the money off of it. But it was the beginning of the preaching of the Savior after He had come and fulfilled all the prophecies concerning Him. We preached Jesus and the kingdom of God. And that's what they preached after that. I got some more scriptures to read you to show you, but I mean from the time of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God was preached. And when you look in the book of Acts, it's amazing how it never clicked with me. But you start reading in there, we preach Jesus. No, they preach Jesus and the kingdom of God every time. Read it. and the things concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus. They preached more than most people are preaching now. They had a greater message than most people are preaching now. That's for sure, in a lot of different ways. But in this matter here, they certainly did. They didn't just preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They preached the kingdom of God. And there's a difference, and it's an important difference. It was the beginning of the church age, the time when God is gathering a bride for His Son from the children of men. That's what's going on. His kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. All right. We find in the New Testament that the message preached by John, Jesus, and the apostles was a message of Jesus and His kingdom. Now that's what I was just referring to there. All right. Listen to some verses. Acts chapter 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When they believed. What did they believe? The things that he preached concerning the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ. And the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the king. The kingdom of God is his kingdom. He's the King, King of kings and Lord of lords. All authority, all judgment, all power is given to Him in heaven and in earth. Acts chapter 28, verse 23, and when they had appointed Him a day, there came many to Him into His lodging, to whom He expounded and testified the kingdom of God. You notice how it's first? He didn't expound to them about Jesus. He expounded about the kingdom of God and Jesus. And Jesus. He expounded to them and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Well, see, Jesus was what made the difference, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets from morning until evening. Spent the whole day there, morning to evening, preaching to them about the kingdom of God and Jesus. Jesus was the beginning of the kingdom of God. Now that's the way I see it here. I mean, until John. And John's the one that said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." He was the messenger sent before to prepare the way of the Lord. He was Isaiah, the prophet. Jesus said, "If you can receive it, he's already come." That was him. He came preparing the way of the Lord. Preaching the kingdom of God. Jesus came from that time preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand." It started, Jesus was the key thing. He was the Savior. He was the Lamb of God that God had promised since the Garden of Eden. And it began a new way of reaching out to people. A new light. I'm the light of the world, he said. Here's the condemnation that light has come into the world. Jesus. This is the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven. Same thing. Preaching, Acts chapter 28, verse 31. Preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ. See how it's always, see how that goes together every time? They preached the kingdom of God. We don't preach that, do we? We ignore that. We leave that out. We don't act like it's even a thing that matters. But all the apostles, all the way through the book of Acts, they preached the kingdom of God and Jesus. You say, "Well, that's putting Jesus second." No, 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 no. They gave an understanding of Jesus better than what's being put across today about Jesus. That's why everybody's got all this false idea and concept about Jesus. Because we don't preach nothing about his kingdom. We talk about him being a humble, meek and all of this and lowly. And we don't talk about him being a king. We don't present him as a king. We don't present the gospel to people as if he's a king and you must submit to him. No, we don't do that. You allow Jesus, you invite him to come into your heart. Yeah, that's what you do. you give him the blessing of your invitation to save you and take you to heaven when you die. And the rest up to you. I mean, now we don't preach kingdom. These people are not preaching the kingdom of God today. They're preaching another Jesus who has no authority over you. Yeah, he's just a savior. He's your scapegoat. Mm-hmm. No, we're in a different time. We need to be preaching the kingdom of God and Jesus. Explaining about this to people, and we need to understand it ourselves first. Now, the message was more than the death, burial, and resurrection. It looked forward to the kingdom of God. See, that's where modern theology has got run aground. That the gospel is simply the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. No, that's the hub of the gospel. That's not the whole gospel. If all you got to do is believe that intellectually and you're saved, then nothing matters, man. Nothing matters. Live like you want to live. But there is something else. And it's called the kingdom of God. You need to understand, Jesus is a king. And we're talking about, and what's going on right now is his kingdom is being prepared. His kingdom is being formed. That's right. His kingdom is being made up, populated. And one day, it's going to be the only kingdom there is. And if you don't belong to it here, you ain't going to belong to it there. You're going to be left out when all the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and our Christ. You ain't going to have no place to go. It delivered what they'd preached, delivered to the understanding of the hearers, the idea that when they were saved, they would become citizens of another kingdom that was not of this world. The way it was preached in the book of Acts, these people that heard it understood clearly that they couldn't love the world and love God. They couldn't stay where they were and just simply add Christ onto their life and have a dual citizenship. They understood it very clearly because they preached the kingdom of God. It meant you became a citizen of God's kingdom. And Jesus was your king and your Lord. He wasn't just your savior, your free ticket to escape hell, your get out of hell free card. No, he wasn't that at all. That's what they've made him now. He's simply your way to get to heaven when you die. Which never is mentioned in the Bible. Never. That's never, that the gospel was never presented that way to anybody in the Bible. Do you realize that? Do you realize that? Nobody in the Bible ever presented the gospel that way. The only way it was presented was you're lost and condemned and hell's where you're going. Jesus is your only hope. And you ain't going to be saved unless you forsake the world and the kingdoms of this world and your own kingdom and get off the throne and put Jesus on the throne of your heart. Kingdom of God is within you. Kingdom of God is not of this world. Jesus, in John chapter 18, verse 36, answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." They're fixing to deliver him to the Jews. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight right now, but it's not from thence." It's a change of identity. It's a change of citizenship. It's a change of belonging and loyalty for those who enter in to the kingdom of God. They change their citizenship. That's my first loyalty. That's my first identity. Is God, the kingdom of God. I belong to Him, Once I'm saved, that's got to be the way it is. Well, it makes a whole lot of difference, doesn't it? Reckon what kind of shape we would be in now if the gospel had been preached through all these years instead of this watered down bunch of lies that's been preached and made generation after generation believe and ignore this and believe in a false Jesus and have a false hope. It used to be preached, and preachers laid it down and they made it clear. You must make a choice. And it's either or. Don't even think or entertain the thought that you can belong to Christ and have a hope for the future while you remain in your sin and in love with this world. Well, now they're preaching absolutely that you absolutely can. And it's a lie. It's a false gospel. All right. Kingdom of God is not like other kingdoms. John 18, verse 37, next verse after what I just read there. When Jesus said that, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world. That I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Everyone that's of the truth listens to their king. Everyone that is of the truth, everyone that is of his kingdom hears him and listens to him and obeys him. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. That's the kingdom of God. Those are the kingdom of God. Those are the ones who have entered in. If they don't do that, they're not in. They haven't entered in to the kingdom. They may say they've made a profession of faith. They may say they've invited Jesus into their heart. They may say that they've prayed a sinner's prayer. They may say they've been baptized and they're a member of a church and all of that junk, but they ain't in if they don't hear his voice and obey him. And everyone, he said right there, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. He explained to Pilate there his kingdom. Didn't he? Are you a king? You say I'm a king. That's why I came to this world. My kingdom's not of this world. He had just said that in the verse prior to this. My kingdom's not of this world. So he's explaining to old blind Pilate, who don't understand a thing he's saying, about the kingdom of God. Jesus came from that time forth. He came preaching the kingdom of God. That's what he's doing right there. Preaching the kingdom. Everybody that's of the truth, I testify the truth. Everybody that's of the truth, hears my voice. It can't be no plainer than that. It'll be plain when we stand before God. You'll see. It's just going to be just exactly like we're reading right here in the Bible. Just like Jesus told us. You won't obey God and you ain't got no time for him and you ain't interested now, you're not in. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how much you say you believe. If you're of the truth, if you've entered in, he's your king. And you're loyal to him and you love him and you serve him because you love him. I wouldn't want any other king but him. That was the motto I've read during the Revolutionary War. No king but Jesus. No king but Jesus. Not King George of England, the reprobate. We got a better king than that. They understood back then, Jesus is the king. He's got a kingdom. I belong to that kingdom. Do you? Are you a citizen of that kingdom? Are you a citizen of this world? Are you more? I worry about all these people that are more loyal to America than they are to the kingdom of God. They'd die for America, but they wouldn't die for the kingdom of God. They'll crawfish and compromise and back up and deny him in a heartbeat. And then brag about how loyal and willing they are to die for their country. Bunch of junk, what that is. If you got your head on straight and your heart is right, your first loyalty is going to be to the kingdom of God and to your King, Jesus, who you submitted to long ago. All right. Jesus, and then Pilate after this, he said, "Everyone who is of the truth, hear my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Boy, he's a long ways from the kingdom. There's another verse where Jesus said to a man, he said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." It's in there so much, it's unbelievable. Everything he said to everybody, almost, has these words in it. "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." But old Pilate's a long ways from it here. What is truth? You want to know why we got a day when the truth is so attacked? You know what I was reading there and studying about something else last night? I was reading for a long time. I got back here and I started reading Jeremiah about Babylon, you know, in the last days, Babylon. And then you read in Revelation chapter 17-18 about Babylon, the daughter of Babylon. And I've kind of been of the opinion for a long time, that's us. You know what Babylon means? What does Babel mean? Confusion. Babylon. It's where the tongues were confused and everything. Babel. Babel, blah, 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 blah. Confusion. A confused message. Nobody can understand. All right, what has America done to this world? Are we in the place where this originated about can't even tell the genders apart now? Are we the place where sodomy has took root like Sodom and Gomorrah? And same-sex marriage is okay now? We're the seat of all the fornication and the sorcery, the drugs, and the confusion of the world. We're Babylon. What is truth? Yeah, we're just about where Pilate was. Nobody knows, do they? People sit in church and they don't know. They don't know. They don't believe nothing anymore. There's been so much lies and fake news and false information spread everywhere. And everybody's so confused and unhinged from the truth. We don't even know anymore what is truth. Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears his voice. What is truth? When he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find no in him no fault at all." He don't know nothing, but he knows Jesus ain't guilty of nothing. He ain't done nothing wrong. I don't find nothing wrong with this man. What's the matter, you people? Jesus is the King of the kingdom of God, but his kingdom is not of this world. However, the citizens of his kingdom are in this world right now. You hear me? Get this stuff. Get it and keep it and think about this. His kingdom is in the hearts of those who have become citizens of his kingdom. Luke 17:21, "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." Jesus is saying, you can't say, "Well, there's the kingdom over there. Here's his kingdom over here." Like you do earthly kingdoms. We look at the different nations of the world, and it's always been this way. "Well, there's that kingdom over there. That belongs to him. He's the leader over there. And over here's this kingdom." He said, you can't do that with this deal. "Lo here, lo there." You can't say that, because my kingdom is not this world. My kingdom, the kingdom of God, is within you. It's in the hearts of men. Now, there's coming a time when everything's going to change up. The kingdom of God is going to be all there is. It's going to, I mean, we're going to rule and reign with him. Y'all understand that, don't you? I mean, it's going to change up. Ain't going to be, all these other kingdoms are going to be put down. The devil told Jesus he could give him all of that. Now, I told you the other day, the devil's a liar. He can't do that. That's God's authority and God's business. Watch and see. The book of Revelation shows us and tells us the kingdoms of this world. I mean, they make a great announcement. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. The song says it too, but the scripture says that. They're singing the scripture. when they sang that song. Someday the kingdom of God is going to become the only kingdom there is. All else is going to pass away. All earthly kingdoms will pass away and will be no more. Now, I want to say one other thing here, and then I'm going to quit tonight. But there's a lot of false teaching concerning the kingdom of God. You got to be careful with this stuff, because it is something that some people have latched onto and they went nuts with it. Gone bananas, just like they do with everything. There's kingdom theology and dominion theology. And those are all centered around the kingdom of God, which we're talking about tonight. But they take it to extents and places where the Bible don't take it there. It's imagination starts working, like we've talked about, in the mind and the heart and all of that stuff. It takes it to fanatical ideas that deceive people about what the kingdom really is about. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about or not, dominion theology and all that. It's talking about the charismatics and the Pentecostals. A lot of those believe, and some others too. I guess some of the Baptists have got dragged into it also. But they believe that the church is going to have a great revival and that we're going to take over the world before Jesus comes, so that when he comes, we can just present it to him. Here it is. We've prepared it all for you. We've got the kingdom ready for you. Now, that's seriously, that's what they teach and believe. Latter rain, same thing. It's all those are lumped together in that kind of nonsense. That's not the way it's going to be at all. They are 180 degrees off. It's not going to be that way at all. Those who belong to the kingdom of God are going to be crying out, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." They're not going to be saying, "Boy, I've got this thing ready. All right, Lord, we're ready for you. Now come, here it is. We've prepared your throne. We've subdued your enemies. We've conquered the world for you. And here it is." How foolish. How can the devil deceive people like that? But the kingdom of God is a real thing. And it's an important issue, an idea, and concept that you have to understand properly. And it'll really help if you do. If you don't get sidetracked in all of that nonsense. The latter rain theology and other ideas also lead people away from the truth about this matter. And it's very important to have a right concept about the kingdom of God in order to understand the gospel correctly. Jesus died and was buried and was raised again. And he died for our sins. And he was our substitute. He made atonement for our sins. Yes, he did. But he's the beginning of the kingdom of God. He's the king. The king who died for us. Amen. We need to understand. There's more to it. There's more coming. There's more to being a Christian here and now than just believing those facts. It totally changes who you are, who you belong to, changes your identity. That's why he said, "If you're ashamed of me in this sinful and adulterous generation, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father." If you won't confess me before men, I won't confess you before the Father. If you won't stand for me now, then I'm not going to stand for you then. Then, oh yeah, when the kingdom of God comes. I don't know how else to say it. The kingdom of God is now. It's being populated now. It's happening one at a time as people hear the gospel and believe and yield and enter in to the kingdom. But one day, it's going to be all there is. If you're wicked and you love this world, you're in the majority now. But your days are coming. Our day is coming. Our king's day is coming. He owns this deal. You just don't understand that. I mean, evil's on the ascent now. And it looks like the bad guys have got it. We're the evil. We're the foolish. We're the nut. No, it's going to turn around one of these days. And this is all it's going to be. The kingdom belongs to Jesus. He's the king, and I belong to him. Amen. I don't know, you know, that's just a little bit. But you need to start thinking about this and start thinking in a different realm about it. Amen. All right, well, let's stand. You didn't believe me, did you? You thought he always says that, and then he keeps his hair for an hour. I got to keep you guessing. We need to learn. We need to study to show ourselves approved unto God. We need to understand these things. We need to understand more and more and more. I don't want Jesus to come and me be ignorant and not even know what's going on. What in the world? What's going on here? I don't want to be in the mentality of camp meeting all the time. Just, oh boy, you know, I just can't wait. This is going to be like a great old camp meeting. No, man. Wake up. You need to understand. This is a bigger thing than a camp meeting and sweet fellowship and all of that. The kingdom. When they crown him Lord of all, what did that song say? I'm going to be there. You realize that's coming, don't you? Yeah. Why are we going to get crowns anyway? I mean, Paul talked about the crown of life, crown of righteousness. Yeah, crown of rejoicing. Crown, crown. What does a crown go on? What does a crown represent? Kingdom. Yes, sir. And then the Bible tells us, what are we going to do with those crowns? Cast them at his feet. Ain't it going to be wonderful when we see the end of this? I mean, we're seeing the formation of it here. And that's wonderful. If you understand these things a little bit, boy, you can start to see, look around you. I know it's dark and evil all around us. I know the world's about to burn to the ground. But there's something else going on that you need to get a hold of. The kingdom of God. In the middle of all this. Through all this. Jesus is getting his kingdom ready. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this matter. That help us, Lord, to understand it and really get some things out of it that are going to help us in our walk. It's not just something to thrill about in our minds. It's not something to just stir our hearts. It's something that will help us practically to know how to live and walk and think in this world and conduct ourselves until the day you come for us. Pray you'd bless the word to our heart now in Jesus' name. Amen.